your children when she gets them to sleep. And I will give you thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 We're going to make declarations about the children as they go to Children's Church. Use this as a point of contact if you are believing in God for the fruit of the womb. The Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is a reward unto them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I present these children you have given unto me. I give them back to you today as a sacrifice. I say in the name of Jesus, the children you have given unto me are for signs and for wonders in this generation. I say in the name of Jesus, you have contended with them that contend with my children, and you have saved my children. I say in the name of Jesus, my children shall never be abused. My children will never be kidnapped. My children walk into the right places at the right time. I say in the name of Jesus, my children are led by the Spirit of God. And I say, they walk only with the right company. I say in the name of Jesus, great is the peace of my children, for they are taught of the Lord, they are healthy, they are protected, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken in the life of my children. I say my children remain perpetually the head and not the tail in the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus Christ, my children are world leaders in their various walks of life. I say my children are blessed. I say they are healthy. I say they are on top in their class, in their education, in the name of Jesus. I say all the resources required to bring them up have been delivered unto me. I say they grow up to a good old age, and I live to see my children's children in the name of Jesus. But I will give you thanks. I say in the name of Jesus Christ, my children are not confused about their identity in the name of Jesus Christ. I say they are not confused about their identity in the name of Jesus Christ. No force of hell can sway them from the path that God has designed for them. In the name of Jesus, I say they are led and they enter into God's plan and God's purposes for their lives effortlessly. Father, we give you thanks. 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 Let the children go. Father, we give you thanks. Let's open our Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, from verse 1. We continue from where we started last week, and by God's grace, we'll round it up. And I'm going to speak quite briefly today because there are some things that will happen after the word comes forth. Amen. Prepare for a manifestation. I'm so excited. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon my tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon my tower and I will watch. He said, watch the function of sight to see what he will say to me. So in essence, God says the word and I'm watching to see the image of that word that has spoken to me and what I will answer unto him when I am reproved. And he says unto me, and he answered and said unto me, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he might run that readeth it. So when I watch to see what he has said to me, I have a vision of that thing. I have an image of that thing. And now says, take that image and inscribe it upon the table in a plain and simple language. He said, make it plain, make it simple, that anyone that reads it will run with it. So he's saying that we've talked about how to stand, we've talked about how to watch. In fact, you know the Bible says, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. We'll see what that really means in the scriptures. And when the Bible says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. So he says, he that reads it will run. So we'll see how the scriptures will go further into this. But he says, I will stand and watch. We've talked about it. Oh, I will just reiterate it for 2 minutes, how we got to that stage. So God speaks a word to you. You stay on that word and you meditate on it until you have a picture of that word inside your mind's eye. And that is what you write on the table in plain language. So you meditate on the scriptures until you see a definite form regarding that particular scripture and you write it down. I gave an example of a woman who is believing God for the fruit of the womb. And she says, oh God, your word says the fruit of the womb is your reward, is my reward, is your reward unto me. And the word says that there shall be no barren in my land. And you take those scriptures and you begin to meditate on them. And we say the scripture should be the foundation for everything in your life. There's nothing in your life that should happen without a particular scripture. You should get a scripture to cover every area of your life. So you take those scriptures. It says now there's no barren in our land. You take those scriptures and begin to meditate on it. And you begin to see yourself even pregnant, carrying a child, and walking around and being congratulated by your friends and family. It now says, take that vision you are seeing and write it plainly. Your confession must be in plain terms that you can understand. Your confession must not be ambiguous and say, okay, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. What does that mean to you practically? So that's why it says, write it plainly in a plain language you can understand. I will show you an example here today. So it says, when you write it plainly, it says, so that those that read it might run with it. I will go to examples. I'll show you. There's one of these things to paint a clear picture in your mind's eye. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We'll see it clearly in the scriptures. Luke chapter 1, and we'll go to Genesis as well. So we'll flip between those scriptures so that we can understand it. Luke chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 15. Hold your place in both places. We'll be flipping between both. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Say, and in 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation be this? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know no man? Go to Genesis chapter 15. We will flip between those. Hold your place there in Luke 1:22. Go to Genesis 15. We want to see this thing clearly today, so that we know that that's sorted. There's something, as we go, there's something I want to say. You know, we're teaching doctrine, we're teaching principles, we're teaching how this thing works. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is not just about doctrine. There's a part of doctrine, it's a part of demonstration. You can't have one without Word of Faith guys. We Word of Faith guys can be so caught up in doctrine that we can miss out on the move of the Spirit. So we have to balance it out. It's a church that teaches doctrine as well as the move of the Spirit. So there's a move, there's a part where you cannot really explain what happens. There's a part where the Spirit is moving and He decides to move in a way you can't really explain it. So we must understand that clearly. We're teaching doctrine now, but there's a part, there's a place for a demonstration of the movement. You cannot do one without the other. Hagin said that a church that doesn't operate in the move of the Spirit is a dead church. You can have the teaching of the Word, but there has to be a move of the Spirit, and vice versa. A church that focuses so much on the move of the Spirit without the Word of God, there's also, so you have to stay in the middle of the line. So that's why we are staying in the middle of the line. That's why we do Holy Ghost meetings, we do all those things, because we are a church that believes in the move of the Spirit and sound doctrine. Okay, let's go there. It says, Genesis chapter 15, I just want to drop that in. Because we're going to do some things later that might not be conventional, but we are following the Lord as He leads. Genesis 15. Hold your place there. Okay, now, Genesis 15, 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. These are the two births that were miraculous in the Bible, and they were very significant. It says, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and exceeding. This is when the angel came to Mary. It was so similar. And Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? Both of them were saying the same thing. God brought a promise to them. And he said, the only thing I can see, Mary said, I can't see more than medical science has told me that a man and a woman must come together to have a child. Abraham says, seeing I go childless and past bearing age. He said, that's medically speaking, naturally speaking, the evidence of my senses says I do not know any other way. The only thing I can see is what is happening now. And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Let's go back again to Luke 1. We'll flip between both because I want to drum the message in clearly. Go to Luke 1 again. The message is not going to be long, don't worry. There'll be a demonstration and manifestation of the power of God. Don't be long. Luke chapter 1, verse, let's go again. It says now, we stopped at, he said, seeing I know no man. And the angel 35 says, answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Everything in this new covenant is by the Spirit. You cannot achieve anything in this covenant by your struggles. It says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. Listen, and he said, and behold, your cousin Elizabeth. Hold your place there. Sorry, we have to go to Genesis 15. Verse 4. It says, 15:4. He said, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall comfort out of thy own bowels. So the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And what did he say to Mary? He says, and a holy thing shall be born from your own bowels. He said the same thing here. He says, out of your own bowels shall come forth that which shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, behold the stars. I was given a picture. I would say, God works by pictures. He says, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, fine, but the Holy Ghost needs an image to transform you into. That's why he says, we with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory are transformed from one level of glory to the other by the Spirit of the Lord. We are beholding the image of God. So he needs an image to transform you into. He's giving Abraham an image, giving Mary an image. He says, behold your cousin Elizabeth. Let's go back to 136. And says, she's with a son. In her old age. That means she has experienced something that is not natural. So I want you to go there and say, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for God, with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to the word. 39 says, and she arose and made haste to go there. She ran. She knew that this is the picture. God says, now I've given you the picture. This picture is what the Holy Ghost will transform you into. All I want you to do is behold that picture and walk. It's not by the Spirit. He said, I give you the word, I give you the picture as you meditate on the word, and I will transform you into that image. All I want you to do is see and behold. Look at here. And he brought him abroad, 15:5. Says, look now unto the heavens. Tell the stars, if thou be able to number them, then he says, so shall thy seed be. And he says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for him for righteousness. Abraham saw the stars, and he says, and he believed in the Lord, and it counted to him for righteousness. Go to Luke 1:26. Luke 1 again. And he says, 39. He says, and Mary rose up, the same way Abraham looked at the stars, and made haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And he says, and as he entered in, the baby in Elizabeth's room leaped for joy. 44, he says, and lo, as soon as the voice of salutation sounded in my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And he says, blessed is he that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things that were said unto her. 46, and Mary said, the same way Abraham believed, but Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in the God of my salvation. Look at the tenses, 48. It says, for he had regarded the low estate of his handmaidens, for behold, from henceforth, that means he conceived there. She was talking present. Say, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty had done me these great things, and the Holy is his name. She conceived. She, as soon as she saw that picture, she received that thing inside her womb. The same way Abraham saw it, he believed, and he conceived that thing. It is the image. It is the image that the word creates inside you. The Holy Ghost transforms you into that image. The Holy Ghost needs that image. He says, and as I said, the power will come upon you, yes, but you have to be beholding something for you to transform you into something. If you are not beholding anything, transformation. That's why you must have certain things you are reaching out for and find the scriptures that promise you those things. Then once you begin to behold those scriptures, the image begins to form inside your mind. And once that image is on, the Holy Ghost needs that image. He's transforming you effortlessly into that very image. You have to be beholding something. You have to be seeing something. You have to be seeing something with your mind's eye for you to be transformed. You have to be seeing something because God works by images. So he says that's what he said. So now Mary began to sing. Now, we'll talk about writing this thing clearly on paper. So when you begin to meditate on the word, I begin to see those pictures in your mind's eye. You begin to see those pictures in your mind's eye. Now, it says, write the vision plainly. People in the world, they talk about writing your goals. They quote from the scriptures. It says, write it plainly. Take a paper. What did Mary say? He says, let's read it carefully. He says, and my spirit had rejoiced in God my Savior. So she stood and she says, Father, I thank you because you have brought salvation to me. I rejoice in you. So you have rejoiced of me, your handmaiden. Behold, because of this miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ without any human assistance, all generations shall call me blessed. She was seeing the effect on her. The joy that she will feel when Jesus Christ finally appears. She was already rejoicing in the present tense regarding that thing. It says, ask and you shall receive when you pray that your joy might be full, not before it manifests, before it manifests. It is there. So if you begin to see it, you begin to see that thing, I'm going to rejoice inside it now. Say, Father, I thank you. You're going to see her response, how she will be. She's carrying the baby, like we said. Like we said, the man is believing God for a child. She's carrying the baby. The joy that thing will create inside her, well, she'll begin to experience it now. And she was saying that people now began to congratulate her and say, look, you are a blessed woman because this miracle has happened in your life. She saw it. She saw it. So let us now, by writing the email, how to write the confession. We don't want ambiguous confession. It says, now that we are in this covenant and we understand how it works, we are sure that this thing works. We use great plainness of speech. That means we don't cloud things anymore. We don't say, God blessed us. No, we put our necks out and say, by this time next year, 1, 2, 3, 4 will happen. And we leave it out there. We say, by this time next year, 1, 2, 3, 4 will happen. There's no ambiguity. There's no hiding. We bring it out in the open. Because we know that, he says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He said, this thing is sure. He said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We don't walk in craftiness, but by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience inside of God. This thing is true. This thing is really authentic. That's why Jesus Christ shed his blood to give man access to this kind of covenant that can transform and change any man, no matter what state he's in. No matter how far he's gone, even if he's gone to prison, he's murdered people. The blood has paid the price, and he can transform that man in his consciousness. He becomes a completely different person. It's so powerful. This covenant is the most powerful thing that has visited humanity. Let's begin to understand this thing. And it's time to manifest the sonship that's already ours. It's time to manifest that sonship. Father, give you thanks. So now, she now began to talk. Say, for his mighty that has done this thing, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. So we begin to talk in the present. The Bible says God quickens the dead and calls things that be not as though they were. We have to talk the language of the Spirit now. He quickens the dead. He calls things that be not as though they were. He doesn't call things that are as though they are. He doesn't look at the surroundings and call things like they are. No. He calls things that be not as though they were. And that voice is based on what he's seeing in his eyes. He's now speaking based on what he's seeing. He's not cajoling things. He's seeing a clear picture and he's speaking what he's seeing. Because he's focusing on those things. He says, our light affliction, which is but pigment, worketh for us an eternal weight of glory while we look. What are you looking at? At the things which are seen. Things are not words. Things are tangible things, images in the spirit realm. They are tangible substances in the spirit realm which your eyes are fixed on because they were produced by the word of God. As you fix your eyes on those things, and when the surroundings begin to shake, you fix your eyes and you say only what you are seeing. You're not saying, it's not a blank page, no. You're not just trying to cajole confession, no. You are seeing something in the spirit and you are declaring what you are seeing. There's a difference. We'll talk about it when we go to the manifestation. So that's what he said. So now, how do you write a vision? Well, for Mary's example, let's go to Psalm. We'll join Mary's example with Psalm 126. I was just thinking over the weekend that this gospel is a glorious gospel. It is God's take. Like you say, you have a family. What's God's take on? Father, what's your take on my finances? What's your take on my family? That's how it is. So the glorious gospel is God's take on any matter. And imagine God is a majestic God. His take on any matter is splendor. Think about it. His take on marriage is far exceeding anything you can imagine. His take on your material prosperity is far. His take on your body is far above anything. His take on your business, on your life, on your destiny is far above anything you can imagine. So Father, what's your take on this matter? Just think about it. This gospel is glorious. It's a glorious gospel. Think about the glory of God. It's not a gospel that patches here. It's a glorious gospel. Glorious gospel. That says, if you look through the scripture, it says, if the enemy had known, he would not have crucified this Lord of glory. Jesus Christ, the Lord that brings glory every time. It's a glorious gospel. It's not a Mickey Mouse gospel. That's for want of words. It's a glorious gospel that emanates the power and the person of and the majesty and the splendor of his beauty. It's a great opportunity, honestly, to be a partaker of this thing. It's a great opportunity. It's a privilege, I say that, to be a partaker of this glorious gospel of Christ. So it says, Psalm 126, we'll tie it up with that. Then we're going to... So when you want to write the thing, you've seen the picture. If you find it difficult to see pictures, if you have an infirmity in your body and you're struggling, take pictures of when you were younger. It's on the wall. So meditate on the scriptures. Be looking at those things. It will help you. Because sometimes it's difficult to put pictures around of when you were healthy and bubbly. I'm going to meditate on the scriptures by scripture. I'm looking at those pictures. That's what Jacob did to the animals. They didn't have the capacity to do it. He put the thing before them. You're looking at it. So it's very important. We have to understand that it's a gospel of power. It's a gospel of manifestation. And if you look at Jesus, Jesus says, he says that when Jesus was in the agony, he says, who for the joy that was set before him? He saw something. He saw something. He endured the cross and he despised the shame. Okay, 126. So when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth. See, he's explaining how to, I want to see how to write this confession. He said, then was our mouth, how he felt when that thing was manifested in his life. So if God has really done it for you and you believe you're a man of faith, and you believe you have. Our great things for us, whereof we are glad. He said, then said they among the heathen. So the response of the people to them, they also mentioned it there in the thing. So you only understand that. So you, when you're writing this confession, you start by saying, remember, God calls things that be not as though they were. You sit down now and say, Father, I give you thanks. I had my goals for 2015. Because I now sit down at the end of December 2015 that I am so grateful to you, my God. I finally understand what it means to walk in the light. I'm saying on December 2015. I'm calling things that be not as though they were. I thank you because in this year 2015, I've come to the end of it. And I thank you for the first, one of the few times in my life, I finally understand what it means to have true satisfaction. I am so glad for all the things and the miracles you did in my life. Then you start. That's what the movie said now. It's in the scriptures now. That's how you call things that be not as though they were. You now say, Father, I thank you because based on what you are believing for, I don't know what it is. If it's, for example, if it's the church, I say, I thank you because 400 people, came into the church effortlessly in this year, and we had to move suddenly from Bromley Court Hotel because you could not contain us anymore. I thank you. You begin to feel the thrill of that thing on the inside of you. And those things were created by some scriptures I was meditating upon. Scriptures like in Ezekiel 36, which says that I will multiply men unto you as beasts. This thing is practical. Those images were formed inside my heart, and I saw them. So I wrote it in a practical way that I will understand. When I say 400 men, I understand what that means. When I say we have to move from, I can identify with it. So you now write that clearly on the thing. And you say, Father, I thank you because they came in effortlessly. And I thank you because we even had to move to two services because the place could not contain us anymore. And this was patterned. So when you now write it clearly, I mean, as you're saying that, you can feel it. Especially, I can feel what I'm saying. I can feel it. I can feel the elation and the joy that comes to me because of that thing. I'm already rejoicing in that thing as though I had it now. That's what Mary said. So I thank you because of that, people around were wondering, how did this happen in such a short space of time? The response of people to you. So you write, you give God praise. You write the exact way you feel when that thing happens, according to the scriptures. They now write the response of the people around you to you. You are seeing things in your mind. You are hearing voices. You are hearing things. People communicating to you. You say, look, this place is too small for you. You guys have to move. You are hearing those things. You are seeing people congratulating you. This child, we've waited for this child for so long. Oh, this child is such a blessed child. Now, we are hearing those things in your mind's eye. This is a practical thing. The Holy Ghost is helping you. He's painting. He has painted those things and he's transforming you. You're not going to do anything. All you have to do is to just read. He says, those that read it, may run. He said, she performed it. He said, read it. You write it clearly in plain language. Not in the thous and do's. Not in the thou shall and thou shall not. You write it in plain language. If you are believing God for your son to get into a particular school, you write it clearly. Say, Father, I thank you for the joy we felt when he got the admission to that school. It was so marvelous, Lord, that the people around us were wondering, how did you do it? You know, you have to write it clearly. In that kind of way, that those that read may run. So when you do that, I have mine here, I wrote it, but it's quite detailed. So I won't leave. Let me read it. Well, it's for our family. I will skip some parts. No, because you know, it has to be you know, it has to be taught in a simple way that I want this thing. This has to be manifestation of this thing. From scripture. I see down today in my study. in 25 Marywood Close on the 31st of December 2015. With full satisfaction and deep gratitude to God, my Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, and as I am content and I am glad at the wonderful events in my life in 2015. Indeed, 2015 has been the best year of my life so far I've lived. My family were so peaceful, and it gave us the leverage to finally experience earning a monthly income of a certain amount after tax. I will mention this. No, let's talk about practicals now. Not here anymore, practicals. Say, after tax, which we accomplish through wise investments as directed by the Spirit of God. I can feel it. When I'm saying I can feel it. I had such health and vitality in my body. I've meditated so much on healing scriptures. Every organ, tissue, and cell function perfectly. I have never felt so strong in my entire life. My what? I'll read it. It's plain. My wife was so fulfilled and satisfied and accomplished, she was able to fulfill her purpose in life. My children, I went on about my children. I said, and my career experienced such increase, and I contributed so much. I performed all the audits and the researches required, and I took the anesthetic department of Guy's and St. Thomas Hospital to a different level by the investments and contributions I made to them. I've meditated on the works of my hands are blessed, and whatsoever I do prosper so much. So I'm seeing the images clearly. You have to personalize this thing. Theory generalizing will not work. We have tried general things. It won't work. You have to personalize, and you have to understand it as it comes out of your mouth. The TV program, I talked about the church. I put it there because I can see it. The Facebook videos, the newsletters, the YouTube videos, and the Sunday services were so powerful and eventful that people were literally transformed before my very eyes. The messages were empowered and filled with life and gave people purpose. I literally saw businesses expand, bodies healed, families restored, and destinies transformed. Millionaires and people rose up from our midst. So, this is what we're doing. You have to personalize it. When you not do that, you now say, these events, you know, when you begin to write like this, I mean to personalize it like this, based on the word you say, your mind, some of the things might be so way out that your mind might struggle. Say, how can these things be? How shall these things be? You might not have an event in your life to actually buttress that point, because the conscious mind is a gateway. It doesn't want, you say, you're just talking, whistling in the window. What are you talking about? How shall these things be? It's not possible. You go to your life and look for an event that God has done in your life. Let me show you. Go to Psalm. First Samuel chapter 17. We'll show you any message. It's not a long message. So here we go. Let us write the stories of our lives. So when I read this thing and I sit down in my house, I'm happy. When I read this thing, I say, God, because all these things are happening, I'm content. I'm not shading shadows. If things like that, let me go. Let's go and do this business. It doesn't really, because I've settled with God inside my, this is the thing that gives me contentment. It stops you from shading shadows. It stops you from being competitive. Because you're doing your own. It's when you're not working your own that you're moving from, you're going here, you're going there. When you don't know what you truly desire. As I began to write this, I began to read this, the Holy Ghost is going to say, adjust that, do this, work on that. The scripture says that there, add that. You need to see things and you need to add it. We're talking about practical Christianity. First Samuel chapter 17. Let's write the story of our life. And won't be long. Speak the language of God. Just calling things that be not as though they were. First Samuel 17, verse 34. No, let's start from 32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war. So some of the things that God has shown you personally, based on where you are now, is like whistling in the wind. But I don't want you to discard them, because that's how God is. I mean, he has to do exceedingly abundantly above you can ask all what you can ask for things. If it's something you can accomplish, then why do you need? Just to be more than that, men will say that this can only be of God. The men will say, no, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have they entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for you and for me, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. So let us begin to manifest that level of sonship. So it has to be above that. It has to be far above. Say, this has never been done on the earth before. Your mom will say, are you sure you are talking? You're whistling the wind. Are you sure you haven't gone? You're not having delusions. You're not. You see, you're carrying it too far. It's in your clothes, and it's you and you. Nobody's there. It's you and God. So I now said, and Saul said, 34, and David said to Saul, look at it. Saul said, he's a man of war. That's what you tell you. But David said unto him, that's what you answer. This is how you use. This is what used to buttress that part. He said, thy servant kept thy father's sheep, his father's sheep. And there came a lion, and I took him out. The bear came, and I took the bear out. He said, the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will also deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. So you take those events, and you switch it in your mind. You say, God, you add it to the confession. That's where I was going. And I said, these events, because when I was reading some of these things, alarm bells were ringing. Bang, bang, bang. Who told you? Relax, you're just talking. And I went back to my past. I said, these events were patterned after the situation I had in my life when I had so-so-so and so-so-so, and men told me it was impossible to do, and God, through His word, brought me out of them. I named the name of the people. This professor told me this, that person said that, and he said it couldn't happen. And God, as I began to say, I began to feel what the Holy Ghost was doing in that season, and it became possible. If you don't have any event in your life, look for another person's event. Like the angel told Mary, go to Elizabeth. The word of God has produced a child in her. So look for events in other people's lives that God has done with His word. Then God needs to buttress that thing, that voice that is trying to say it's not possible. As we need to do that, this conviction and the certainty begins to come inside your heart. And they said, I talked about how men rejoice. And I said, I did everything necessary. I took the right steps. I was led by the Spirit of God into those places that resulted in a manifestation of this thing. God brought relationships into my life that took me to the next level for my life. And I thank you, Father, because of this. Let me see what I wrote. See, this is something that has always been my desire. When I wrote, I said, yes. When I wrote, I said, yes, this is it. This is it. I hit it. I said, eventually, I was able to give people, to support you to the capacity I've always dreamt of all my life. That statement, when I say it brings tears to my, because that is me inside me. That is what I've always wanted in my heart. You know, so you write it like that, and for all this, I give you glory. As you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and meditate on the word, the Lord will be showing you, adjust this place, add to that thing, add to that place. So I've written the story of my life, I summarize in this sheet. Whether you're jumping up and down, I'm focused. You have to have a focus. Focus. Don't toss to and fro. Focus. Based on the word of God. So that's it. So you have to write the story of your life. Let us go home today. It's practice. And write the stories of our lives based on the scripture that God has showed us. You know, and see God. The only thing is that it will manifest quicker than you thought it was. It will. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. So now, you've written the story of your life. And you start saying it, I will talk about you keep on meditating on those scriptures, and you keep on doing all the other things. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 4. We'll round up shortly. Romans chapter 4. It is not you're not going to do anything. You're not going to cause anything to manifest anywhere. The Spirit of God will take the image that He has given you. He initiated everything. He gave you the word. He gave you the image, and He's going to transform into that image. All you have to do is behold. What does it mean to behold? We talked about it. You take those scriptures every day and night. You need to write them down, actually. Write those scriptures down, day and night. You meditate on them. And when you're about to leave your house, you take your confession, you read it in the morning. You go again, come in the night, you meditate on the scriptures, you take a confession, you read it. For example, the woman, the one that had the child, you say, Father, I thank you because you've given me a child. I thank you because there's no barrenness in my land. I thank you because the fruit of the womb is a reward unto me. Simple scriptures, you not read your confession and all the reactions of people and all that. You go out in the morning, you come back in and do the same thing. Now let's go to the book of Romans chapter 4. I'll just explain one or two things before we round up. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. God was talking to Abraham. He says, as it is written. So I told you last week that he starts with the written word of God. That's where he started from with Abraham. I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So you are like your father, you are calling things now that be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that may become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So there was a hope, there was an image which was created by the word of God. That hope is an image. You know, so he now said, and be not weak in faith. So when you begin to interact with life daily, and it begins to show you that those things you are saying are like whistling in the wind. As you go out, things will happen that might discourage you. So what you should do is to keep that thing going. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So because he was focusing on that scripture morning and night. Just keep on doing morning and night. Things will come around your environment. Don't focus on the external circumstances. Don't focus on the letters you're receiving from the hospital. No. Don't focus on going to research in the internet to find out. No. Focus on what the scriptures have said regarding that thing. Focus on what the scriptures have said regarding that. You can focus on those good reporters that you want. You cut off relationships that are sowing seeds into your life that are negative. I went somewhere and someone was believing God for healing, terminal healing. I went somewhere and they were talking about stories of someone that died with that same thing. It's not the people. Satan knows the project you have. People unconsciously, they don't know. So you just say things. Why is it there? It's not coincidence. Why is it there? That same disease, he mentioned the same disease and he said the person died of it. When you know that someone, he didn't know that person was believing for it. But how did it? There's no coincidence. So when you hear such things, you don't take them lightly. If you register, you go back home. When you see any contract, you go back home. Look, I said that he staggered not at the promise of God 20 through unbelief. Those things are assaults on your mind. He wants to paint pictures and you go back home when you say, someone did this business, so he failed though. That business crashed. And he said, this is the business I'm doing now. Why are you talking like that? It's not him. Why do you think Jesus said, Simon Peter? I mean, say, Satan, get behind me. It wasn't Peter now. Peter was being used as an instrument, but he didn't know. Peter prophesied a minute ago. Now he's being used, sponsored as an instrument, but he didn't know. So you have to be sensitive. You don't take this for granted. When they say, you see heaviness in your soul, or that this thing didn't work. This. You don't feel it. You're not beginning to feel like heaven. These people, they try for children. They didn't get children. No. You know, the enemy knows. So he's working like that. So you go back home and you take that scripture again. The scriptures he gave you. About say, there shall be no barrier. You speak those scriptures. You say and repeat those things until that thing lifts from your consciousness. Another thing you do, you pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me show you. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith does not fail. So praying the Spirit is one strategy you use to overcome that thing on the inside of you. Then the other thing you do is you use words to break the effect of those words spoken around you regarding those things you're believing God for. Use the word of God to break those things. Stay there until the thing lifts from your consciousness. Don't sleep with heaviness. Don't sleep with heaviness. Don't sleep with sorrow in your heart regarding something you're believing for. Don't let that thing slip. Don't sleep with it. Don't sleep with that thing. Stay there until that joy begins to come back again. Joy. So he says, and being not weak in faith, 19, he staggered not, he considered not his own body now dead. 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he was also able to perform, therefore it was counted unto him for righteousness. It says, and was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Let's go to Peter. Let's go to Peter. Second Peter, I think it is. Second Peter chapter 7. No, First Peter chapter 7, sorry. First Peter chapter 7. They were strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Let me tell you what it means to dance in the Spirit. I now understand what Higgin was saying. We're going to dance today. I understand what Higgin was saying. He said, I start in the flesh. I said, how can you start in the flesh? He said, man, when you have that image, and you begin to see that image, you begin to rejoice as though you have it now. Based on the image. But you cannot see an image, doesn't it? Based on the image you are seeing, that's what David said. I rejoice at thy word as one that found great spoil. That the spoil has not arrived naturally, but I've seen the word, and that word has painted an image in my eye. I'm seeing myself with that. So I'm dancing. That's how the same bishop danced the whole people into that image. He saw them in the spirit and began to dance. He saw the image and began to dance. He didn't feel it. He saw the picture and he was dancing as though he had it. It's not the children have come. Oh, I give you thanks, Father, because the children have come. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I give you praise. I thank you, Lord, for the children have come. Joy. He saw the image, and after some time, the people took over him. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. When you enter into that river, see, we go there. That's when you enter that place. When you have made it on that thing, after some time, joy begins to come. When joy has reached its fullness, work is complete. And once the external circumstances and the things of people do not affect your consciousness again, you know the things here. Joy is what carries you into by beholding that thing. And you express that joy by dancing, by singing, by jumping, by laughing. It's a powerful thing. First Peter chapter 7. I'm so excited. Oh, First Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 7, sorry. It says, the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, no, you have not seen him, that means you have not seen a physical manifestation of it, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. That's how you get there. So if you're going to rejoice in that thing, it says, the joy unspeakable, receiving the end of your faith. Rejoice with joy unspeakable. So joy unspeakable is full of glory. Listen, joy unspeakable is full of, we were talking about the glory of God. So it means that the cup of joy is full of the glory of God. Listen, look at that scripture again. Joy unspeakable is full of glory. That's what carries the glory of God. It's a cup that is filled by the glory of God. That's how you enter that thing. Joy unspeakable, because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forever. God sits in a place where joy emanates around. So to get into that presence, when you are in joy, in a joyful state, you are sitting with God. He inhabits the praises of his people. Joy is what he lives. Joy is the language of the Holy Ghost. Joy is the language of the Holy Ghost. In his presence, fullness of joy. That's what he says. In his presence, fullness of joy. That's why he comes to inhabit. Anywhere he sees joy, he emanates from there. Where is that joy? Let's go there. Where's joy? Let's go there. That's where he is. He's a God of joy. That's why he says, I cannot stand in that place where there's joy. He can't, because God's presence emanates there. That's what it is. So you're going to rejoice in that thing. You're going to give thanks in that thing. You're going to stay there. I'm going to worship based on what you are seeing. Begin to dance in your house. You say, there's something wrong with you. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. Let me tell a man that is educated that you'll be dancing and singing. This is how you enter into this thing. We round up. Satan cannot stand there. Have you seen Satan being joyful? They can be happy, but they're not joyful. He can be happy, and the next minute you hear that someone has killed himself. That's not joy. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. It comes from nowhere else. That joy. Satan cannot have it. That's why Jesus Christ defeated the enemy by that joy. He couldn't hold him captive when he went to pray. Let's go there. Before we round up with that, let's go to the book of Mark. I'll show you Mark. Let's read John 16 first, and we'll go to Mark. John 16. John 16, 20. So verily I say unto you, you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So when a woman, she is in travail, had sorrow, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man child is born. He says, for ye know, for now ye have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes away from you. So that's how it is. So when you begin to feel those heaviness and things, it means that it is time for a manifestation of that thing. When those things begin to contradict you and begin to feel sorrowful, know that your hour has come. Don't give up at that point. When things look different from what you have been saying, I've been doing this thing all this while, know that your hour has come. And how do you respond? Go to Mark. We've talked about it, but just to buttress the point. But we're going to what the Lord has instructed us to do. Mark chapter 14, 32. So, and they came to a place which was called Gethsemane, 14:32. Mark 14:32. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be so amazed and to be very heavy. So he's going to feel that heaviness and so amazement. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry here with me. If you cannot pray yourself, call someone, your brother. Say, watch. And watch. Say, tarry with me. See, I'm feeling heavy. I'm believing God for this child. And they told me some report in the hospital. I'm feeling really heavy about it. I'll call your brother. If you feel it's not enough, you can do it yourself. Call someone. That's what we're brethren. Call them. Say, look, go with me through this process. Stay with me in this place of prayer. And it says, he went forward and he fell on the ground and prayed. And the Bible says, and he being in an agony, he prayed earnestly. Look now at number 40. He says, and when he returned, he did this three times, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, which neither wist they what to answer him. And he came the third time and said unto them, sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough, the hour has come. What happened? There was a transformation. He saw something, saw a joy. He said, the battle is finished. I've entered the state of joy again. I've come to that place of joy. I've gone to the place of travail. I've released words in prayer, and I've been brought back to that state of joy. And that is what he did. So just understand that let nothing, that heaviness, don't let it pass. Please, don't let it pass. Don't sleep over it. Don't do anything over it. Stay with prayer. Stay there in prayer. Because Satan is there to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that if you feel too heavy, call someone to help you. I want to push through this heaviness in prayer. Release words that brings your consciousness back to that state of joy so that you become back into God's presence. Says in presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He inhabits the praises of his people. That's what he says. He says in the place of joy. That's the language of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of joy. That's why he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, because this is how we overcome in Zion. That's why they hung their harps. They hung their harps. But the rivers of Babylon, he said, you guys, sing those songs that Zion is known for. You've hung your heart. That's why you're in captivity. It says, they did not worship the Lord and serve him for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies. Let that joy not go away from you, because the joy of the Lord is our strength in Zion. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where we draw from. That's where it gives us strength. And the essence of all these things is to cause that joy. Jesus says, this word I've spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. That's the essence of it. Because you know, Satan doesn't have the answer to that. There's no joy in Satan's presence. He has nothing like joy in him. He doesn't know what joy means. He doesn't. No death situation can stand joy. No death situation can stand joy. Satan cannot stand it. You demoralize him. No, you begin to rejoice in the face of adverse circumstances. You demoralize him completely. You demoralize him. When you begin to laugh and say, he that sits in the heaven shall laugh, you bring him to nothing. So begin to rejoice. You know, we word men, no. Express that joy on the inside of you by singing, by dancing, and by laughing. Laugh with God. He that sits in heaven will laugh. God laughs. In fact, Copeland said God did not have a serious thought before the fall of man. That's why people that joy will speak to them. There was one guy that was sick. He was terminally ill. There was nothing they could do. They said, okay, this is what we'll do. There's one guy that's so happy. This is Prince. They took him there and said, let's take him to that guy's house. It will help him. No, see, this guy's always happy. When they bring to the guy says, ah, what of me? Affect my joy. So that's what I'm saying, joy. Joy. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not, the world does not have that. Because the world does not have the Spirit. They don't have this joy we're talking about. This joy that when things are happening on the outside, you'll be dancing in your room. Ha, ha, ha. Because of what you are seeing. You are seeing something. It's based on what you are seeing. So you have to be seeing something, and that seeing something triggers that joy. So you're not living on this planet anymore. You're not living on this realm anymore. In your consciousness, you have left this place to another place. You are seeing those things that are not seen, and you're rejoicing in those things that are not seen. That's how you receive it. And with that joy, you begin to draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's what happens. It is that joy. It is that joy. Now we'll round up. We're going to read the scripture now as we round up. Father, I give you thanks. That's how Jesus discomfited Satan on the cross. And you know what? Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That river is a river of joy. Let's go to the book of Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Are the praise singers ready? Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength in the time of trouble. Our very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We're going to speak the language of the Spirit of God, which is joy. Joy unspeakable. You just imagine God's presence. I mean, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Begin to think about it. That's why you enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's all he knows, joy. So though the water, three, and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, say, but there is a river. I love that scripture. Whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her. And that's right early. When you begin to rejoice, the Bible says in Ezekiel, there's a river. It was ankle deep. It was knee deep. And when the thing becomes so full, joy unspeakable, full of the glory of God, that river begins to carry you on its own. Effortlessly into those places. This thing becomes trivial. It becomes too small. It carries you, you begin to enter into things unconsciously. Say, how did I get here? This is much more than what I bargained for. It begins to move you. When you jump into the river, what happens? The river joy carries you into your destiny effortlessly by the Spirit of God. So joy, joy. Begin to rejoice in those things, in that image that God has shown you. Let's begin to rise up and give God thanks. Father, we give you thanks. It's a joy. Begin to see things that you have believed God for, possession of it. Let the joy begin to express it. Let the joy begin to flow out of you. There is a river, God. Begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. Release yourself. Begin to rejoice. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. Sing to rejoice. Oh, we give you praise. Sing to rejoice. There is a river. There is a river. The joy of the Lord is the strength of Zion.